This is Carl Bott, and I'm with Dan Scott of Eagle Eye Painting. And Dan's doing all the painting in our new studios. Dan, you've been doing this for 20 years. What should people be looking for at this time of the year?
Peeling paint, moisture in their wood, moisture in the stucco would be a couple things to look for. And then they know it's time to paint.
You've got, with 20 years in the business, where are some of the places you've been working at around here?
I've painted Riverview Golf and Country Club, SJ Denim, Market Street Steakhouse. Those are just a few I've painted.
The thing I like about Eagle Eye Painting is when you give an estimate, that estimate stays there. It doesn't change halfway through the job.
No, there's no variation in my proposal. I have confidence in my numbers, and I stick to those. DanScottPainting.com, 530-400-5152. Eagle Eye Painting, a clear vision of craftsmanship. Eagle Eye Painting.
You know, this time of year in Shasta County, the need to heat your home is probably the last thing on your mind, right? Well, my friend SSD Oil says this is the ideal time to trade in your old monitor heater on a spanking new Toyotomi and save yourself up to $250. Your qualifying model monitor heater earns you a huge allowance on a Toyo stove that will keep you warm and cozy all winter long. This deal is as hot as a running sidewalk in summer. SSD Oil, 241-1167, 241-1167.
Cigars, spirits, and diversions. The Cigar and Pleasure Friendly Hotlines are open. 877-DAVE-007. Now, fire up a cigar and pour yourself a cocktail. It's time for the General Cigar Dave.
October rolls along, and so too does Cigar Oktoberfest. We celebrate cigars. We celebrate beer. I've got my beer lined up, ready for the National Cigar Litation and Libation Ceremony ready in this hour. And in hour number two, we will be making our way over to Avid Brewing in St. Petersburg, Florida. Right across the bay from the cigar city of Tampa. We will go to Avid Brewing, and we will be joined by Jeff Keller and Connor Meyer, the owner and master brewer, respectively, as we talk home brewing 101, and we will go over the 8 steps to the science of brewing. If you've always wanted to make your own brewski, your own beer, and the comfort and convenience of your own home, stick around, because hour number two, everything you need to know coming your way. Cigar Oktoberfest, again, on the Cigar Dave Show. Long Ash, greetings and salutations. A Long Ash snappy salute, semper Delectatio. Latin to English, that means always pleasure. Long live the Alpha. Make America great again. Make masculinity great again. Screw the enemies of pleasure. Your global five-star general and alpha male in chief. Front and center from Command Center Alpha in the very luxurious and comfortable Command Center Alpha in a classified location in the cigar city of Tampa. As always, we welcome you. Follow us on social media. Go to CigarDave.com, upper right-hand corner. All the links to follow us are there. And I must tell you that I'm wearing my Lederhosen today because, again, Cigar Oktoberfest, I figured, all right, I didn't wear them last week. Once a year, once during the month of October, I always break out the Lederhosen, the little green Lederhosen, got the little green German shorts and the green shirt and the green cap with the I look like a German pimp. That's exactly what I look like. And I've got to tell you, as Frank Sinatra would say, my Mary Janes are biting me because this is not the most comfortable getup. There's a reason why I don't wear this year-round or more than once in the month of October. Not comfortable. And I will not take a picture of me in the Lederhosen, but I am in the spirit of Cigar Oktoberfest. Now, you know, men have been under attack. There is a war on men. There is a war on alpha males. That is indisputable. Sergeant Steve, didn't we come up with some sort of creative imaging? I just came to mind. Didn't we do some sort of creative imaging talking about the attack on men?
Let me see what I can find.
All right, fantastic. Because I know that you were working on it along with Flounder in the California Theater of Operations and Voice Talent Ed. And while I bring up Voice Talent Ed, who was instrumental, obviously, in the new creative imaging, let me extend a very hearty, speedy recovery and well wishes to Voice Talent Ed's mother, who had surgery earlier this week, got reports that Mama Voice Talent Ed is doing very, very well, came through great, and on the road to recovery. So I know that every one of the Cigar Dave crew extends our greetings to her and to Voice Talent Ed, the entire family. Glad that she is doing well.
Best wishes also to Brady Fisher from Brady's Backyard Barbecue.
Thank you for reminding me. Yes, our good friend Brady Fisher underwent major surgery last week, and we are getting reports on his recovery. He's out of the ICU into a regular room. And, again, one of the great friends of the Cigar Dave Show. Not only is he always, over the years, he has joined us during our grilling programs and grilling segments and joined us at our live events. He was in Buffalo at the Pleasure Fest a few years ago here in Tampa. He has catered many parties at the Pleasure Palace, and I have dined many times at Brady's Backyard Barbecue in Safety Harbor right across the Cigar City in Pinellas County, and we extend wishes to him and his entire family as well. Sergeant Steve, thank you for reminding me. But there's an attack on men. There's no question about it. And you can say that the Christine Blasey Ford, Blasey Ford, however you pronounce it, that coming out after Kavanaugh, that that was the start. This goes way, way before that. There has been an attack on men and on masculinity going back 40, 50 years. But it has intensified the last number of years with this contrived statement called toxic masculinity. That all of a sudden, if you are born a male, then you are born with a toxic masculinity gene in your body. That when you are born a male, from the time you come out of the womb, then you are a future sexual predator. You are a future criminal. That's how some of the ultra, ultra left-wing feminists, the nutcases, the wackadoodles that we're seeing on the ultra-left, these socialist libs, that's exactly what we are seeing now. And so we are seeing not only that, but we have seen the intersection of political correctness with now the war and attack on men. And let me give you a perfect example. Winston Churchill, one of the great leaders, political leaders in history, one of the great statesmen of all time, when in the face of the German Nazi invasion, he stood tall, inspired, instilled confidence. Of course, it helped that the United States of America and other allied nations, including Canada and the other allies, but really the United States, let's face it, the United States and secondarily Canada, we came to save the European allied asses. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. But he instilled confidence, saying, "We shall never, ever, ever surrender." Winston Churchill always with the cigar and the whiskey in hand. And what is amazing is that he was very popular during the war. After the war, his popularity waned. When he was out of office, a number of years later, popularity skyrocketed. There's no question that his popularity probably higher today than ever, except when it comes to the wackadoodle ultra-libs that now seem to hijack the political correctness conversational maneuvers. Let me give you a perfect case in point. Ex-astronaut Scott Kelly. He and his brother, astronauts, Scott Kelly, alpha male, no ifs, ands, or buts. You're an astronaut, you go to space. In my estimation, you're an alpha male. When I was growing up in the 60s, late 60s, early 70s, I mean, in 1969, I was 5, 6 years old. And I remember when man landed on the moon. I remember Neil Armstrong, Buzz Aldrin, Michael Collins, Apollo 11. I remember vividly at my grandmother's house watching on their big Zenith black and white TV with the space age remote control. Everything was space age back then. Everything was space age. If you had Tang, it was space age. Remember the drink Tang? And I remember everybody said that every product that came out, a new microwave, radios, transistors, it's because of the space program. And a lot of it was. A lot of it was. But I remember everything was space age. It's a new Amana space age, Amana radar range microwave, a new space age refrigerator, space age, everything was space age. But I revered those astronauts. They were gods. And today, I still think those guys that are exploring the new frontier, exploring space, they're alpha males. You go and pull 7, 10 Gs, you are an alpha male. No question about it. So Scott Kelly was making a derogatory, not a derogatory, but making a negative, in a polite way, I will say, negative tweet, negative comment, about President Trump taking a victory lap at the swearing-in, the public swearing-in ceremony of Justice Kavanaugh at the White House earlier this week, last Monday. And Trump took a victory lap, and he kind of went after some of the critics, and I thought Trump did a fine job. I had no problems with it whatsoever. There was an attack on Kavanaugh, basically labeling him a rapist, a sexual molester, a sexual assault, without any evidence. And when people said, well, wait, Christine Blasey Ford, she gets the presumption that she's right and he's wrong. No, that's not how it works. I'm sorry. And don't give me this BS. Well, it's a job interview. Therefore, the presumption that he is innocent until proven guilty does not exist. No, that's wrong, too. And the witnesses that she named, every one of them, including her very lifelong best friend, a Democrat, by the way, came out and said, I don't know, I don't ever recall meeting Brett Kavanaugh, and we weren't at that party. Never happened. And admitted that Blasey Ford's people pressured her into changing her story. And she said, I'm not going to perjure myself. Told the FBI everything. Got to give her credit. Told the truth. Told the truth. Tell the truth, you don't get in trouble. Very simple. So Trump took a victory lap, no problem. Okay, and of course you've got the lamestream media going after him and saying, oh, he was not magnanimous, he was spiking the football. Oh, please, spare me. Well, Scott Kelly, ex-astronaut Scott Kelly, tweets, one of the greatest leaders of modern times, Sir Winston Churchill, said, in victory, magnanimity. I guess those days are over. Now, you look at that tweet. Okay, he disagrees with Trump. I thought it was actually a good tweet. I thought, hey, look, he made his point. He didn't bash Trump. He just basically said, look, quoting the great Winston Churchill, in victory, magnanimity. And, you know, I always felt that when you win, yeah, you don't spike the ball. You win gracefully, you lose gracefully. I mean, Marv Levy, a great Hall of Fame football coach of the Buffalo Bills, had him on this show many times. He used to always say, when you win, act like you win. When you lose gracefully. There's the right decorum. So maybe Trump did spike the ball a little bit, but it was not over the top. It was not obnoxious. And I thought that Scott Kelly's tweet was appropriate. Well, not so fast, my friends. All of a sudden, he starts getting lambasted and bombarded with negative tweets and replies. It's critics saying that Churchill, the great leader who rallied Great Britain in the darkest days of World War II against the Third Reich, against the Nazis, helped lead the Allied victory over Adolf Hitler and Nazi Germany. Well, all of a sudden, Scott Kelly gets bombarded with people associating Winston Churchill with Adolf Hitler. Why? Because they say that Churchill was an imperialist and a colonist, and they equated him to Hitler. And the next thing you know, relatively quickly thereafter, he tweets a reply saying, and I quote, did not mean to offend by quoting Churchill. My apologies. I will go and educate myself further on his atrocities, racist views, which I do not support. Are you kidding me? This smacks. You know, when you take a stand and you make a quote, if people don't like it, too bad. The problem in this country is we apologize too quickly. If you have an opinion and you believe in that opinion and you believe that Churchill was a great leader, others may disagree. I don't care if there's 10,000 people who disagree to your one who agree with a statement. You don't apologize. If you have conviction in your statement, if you believe in your statement, do not apologize. Be an alpha. Stand by your opinion. I have many people that say, and I get emails saying, oh, I disagree with your opinion, you should apologize. And my reply is, I believe in what I said, I'm not going to apologize. If you don't like it, you can respectfully disagree with me. I have no problem with it, and I'm happy to debate you. Now, most people won't debate me because I have the facts on my side. And while I usually make a comment, it is fact-based. But you may have your own opinion. But the opinion of equating Winston Churchill, the leader of Great Britain during World War II, equating him with a Nazi, being a Nazi, because he was an imperialist and a colonialist, sorry, that doesn't cut it. And when Scott Kelly, Alpha, Astronaut, rolls over like a defeated dog. That is, to me, unacceptable. Have the NADS to say to all those people who disagree with me and are equating Churchill with being a Nazi, I vehemently disagree with you. You may disagree with me, but I do not retract my statement. But instead, the UN Ambassador for Space tweets out that I have said, did not mean to offend by quoting Churchill. My apologies. I will go and educate myself further on his atrocities. Yes, Scott, why don't you educate yourself on how he fought the Nazis and rallied the Brits and worked with the United States, the Allies, to defeat probably the most evil, brutal, vicious dictator, most subhuman pig that ever existed on the face of the planet in history, period. Why don't you educate yourself on that? And to those people that would equate, that would go after Kelly because he has an opinion, please, shove it. You know, I always say it, and when I see people, you tweet something, and then people, instead of, you know, being polite, you can say, look, I disagree or whatever. They get vicious. They get rude. They get derogatory. And my opinion is, I don't have time for it. It's not, it does not add in any way, shape, or form to my health or my wealth. And that should be the standard. If it adds to my health and wealth, then in that case, yeah, sure, great. I'll take it on. But in those cases, when I see people disagreeing and being, you make a statement and they're being incredibly, incredibly derogatory and boorish in their reply, not interested. It's a waste of time. And as I say, you know, what was it, Forrest Gump? Stupid is as stupid does. You cannot correct stupid. And for those people that tweeted to Astronaut, former astronaut, Scott Kelly, equating Winston Churchill with a Nazi, please. But what makes it even worse is that Scott Kelly surrendered. He rolled over. He cut his NADS off with a knife and said, here they are. Take my NADS. Take my masculinity. I'm going to bow down and apologize. Did not mean to offend by quoting Churchill. Please. Churchill did not have racist views. I don't care if he was a colonialist or not, or if he wanted to expand the British Empire. Who cares? I'm sorry. But to equate Churchill, and again, these are people that are uneducated. These are people that could not engage in debate for 30 seconds. Why? Because they have no clue. They have absolutely no clue. And this is what we are seeing now. We are seeing alpha males, former alpha males, who are basically being sissified, wussified, and castrated. Latest example, I'm here to pump you up, Arnold Schwarzenegger. Let me play a soundbite from the 2004 GOP convention when he was going after the economists that were trying to basically be negative about the economy and go after the GOP on cutting taxes and trying to grow the economy. Hit it.
And to those critics who are so pessimistic about our economy, I say, don't be economic girly man.
Don't be economic girly man. You are wimps. You are girly man. You do not have nuts. You do not have balls. You don't have testicles. You got nothing.
Well, in an interview, the latest one to lose his NADS. And by the way, Arnold now is 71. It's hard to believe. Harrison Ford, I think, is like 73, but he looks like he's 173. But Arnold Schwarzenegger, in an interview with Men's Health magazine, talking about calling his opponents girly men and going after using that phrase, he now is being apologetic over his girly man taunts, and I'm quoting,
at the time, it felt like the right thing to do. It was in my gut. I improvised it. I called them girly men because they weren't willing to take risks. They were afraid of everything. Politicians in general want to do little things, so there's no risk involved. I was counterproductive. My rhetoric was counterproductive. It was short-sighted in the long term. It's better to not say that, because you want to work with them. If you have a little sense of history, you know that the best things are accomplished when both parties work together and start compromising, like Ronald Reagan did with Tip O'Neill. They argued in public. They attacked each other, but with a little wink. That's why so much got done in the Reagan administration. When you can reach out across the aisle and work together, you can get much more accomplished. Rather than girly man or F you or it's my way or the highway. Okay, now that I have said that, here's an unquote. I'm here to not pump you up. I'm here to wussify and castrate you. Denaturalize you. I just made that word up, but I'm Arnold Schwarzenegger. If you're a girly man, I can make it up. Here's the reality, Arnold. So you called somebody a girly man. It's politics. It's showbiz, baby. It was effective. There are campaigns, and then when you're done, you can still reach across the aisle. Here's the problem today. What the Democrats do not like, and now we're seeing this week, we saw that Holder, former AG Holder, and Hillary Clinton said, when we go low, we hit them, we kick them. And then Hillary Clinton said, you can't have civility. We won't have civility until we're back in power. Well, here's the reality. The Republicans for so many years were civil. John McCain and Mitt Romney and George, they were all civil. And when they got hit in the nuts, they just took it. And the Democrats kept saying, no, we go high. We want an honest issue-based campaign, when in reality they were getting in the mud and they were slinging it faster than you could shake a stick at. But what happened with Donald Trump? Certified alpha male. What happened was, when he started getting attacked, whether it was Republican opponents or the Democrat opponents, not only did he hit back, he got kicked in the nuts, he not only kicked them back 10 times harder in the nuts, he then took a boot and shoved it right up their tuchus and gave them a high colonic. And that's what the Democrats despise. He beat them at their own game. And the reality today is, the way politics are, I mean, look at the Kavanaugh hearing. You couldn't have any civil discourse. You couldn't have any. There was no civility. When all of a sudden they're going after a man without any evidence except the hearsay of one woman who couldn't corroborate it with her eyewitnesses that she provided to the committee and she provided to the FBI, she could not corroborate her story in any way, shape, or form, and you had incredible civil discourse. And finally, the Republicans woke up. So it's great to say theoretically, yes, we must be civil to each other. We should not hit each other in the nuts. We should not call each other girly man. We should all sing kumbaya and go to Starbucks together, hold hands, and pass the peace pipe. That's great. That is Fantasy Island. It is not going to happen. But what is happening today is now men, former alpha males, astronaut Scott Kelly, Arnold Schwarzenegger, what's happening now? They are now succumbing to the war on men. They are being wussified. They are now trying to show their feminine side. They're not trying to sing kumbaya and be all about love. Too late. Doesn't work.
The General is now on Instagram. Follow him for pictures of the latest cigars, libations, and what he's enjoying during the show.
That could be interesting, and we'll have to block out some faces.
Go to Instagram and search Cigar Day.
In 1964, Jose O. Padron began rolling cigars bearing his name in modest surroundings with one guiding principle: always focus on quality, never on quantity. Nearly 40 years later, Padron cigars are recognized for their superior taste and majestic construction. The result of Padron controlling all aspects of the cigar-making process, including planting their own seeds, growing and curing their own tobacco, and constantly supervising the rolling room. To Wall Street, it is called vertical integration. To the Padron family, it's called making great cigars. The Padron lines include the Padron 1964 Anniversary Series and the Padron Traditional traditional line. All Padron cigars are wrapped in Nicaraguan sun-grown Habano tobacco, available in natural or maduro. Experience Padron. For your Padron retailer, call 1-800-453-5635. When Padron is on the band, quality is a matter of family honor.
Surgeon General warning. Tobacco use increases the risk of infertility, stillbirth.
Hi, we're Billy and Patrick. In my other life, I'm the marketing director for Red and Kia.
It's Customer Appreciation Month. You can own a 2018 Kia Rio ID 074062 for $229 per month and zero down.
Oh, my goodness. Own a new 2018 Kia Forte ID 281123. $256 per month, zero down. Interest rates going up, but not at Red and Kia.
It's 0% financing for 66 months on all new 2018 Kia Fortes, Kia Optimas, Kia Niros, and Kia Stingers. Customer Appreciation Month ends 10/31/2018.
Kia Rio, MSRP 15960 minus 1000. Kia Customer Cash, 84 months at 4.19 APR. Kia Forte, MSRP 18902 minus 2250. Kia Customer Cash, 84 months at 4.19 APR.
0% for 66 months is $15.15 per 1000 financed on approval of credit, plus government fees and taxes, any finance charges, any dealer document processing charge, any electronic filing charge, any emission testing charge, subject to prior sale.
Redding Kia, reddingkia.com.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
After the fires, the odds are that your HVAC system is now loaded with ash and contamination that will fill your house every time you start your heating system in the weeks ahead. Now's the time to get that ductwork cleaned and sanitized for your family's health. For more than a quarter century, Clean Air Duct Cleaning has been giving homeowners peace of mind every time their system comes on. Right now, Chris is offering up to 12 vents cleaned for $250. Get all the details at 356-4435. That's 356-4435.
We learned it the hard way. Wildland fire is a fact of life for us. The only real protection for your home and property is defensible space. Remove ladder fuels, brush, and trees that can take the fire right into your house. But cleaning up your landscape is a big job, and Cal North Forestry is up to the task. They are the professionals. Cal North Forestry. Give your home the best chance at survival. For a free estimate, call 209-9473. 209-9473.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
With an unlimited and secure supply of pleasure sticks available for the general to enjoy, it's time for National Cigar Litation Maneuvers.
Well, I need me a little bit of Stevie Ray Vaughan and Scuttlebutton. And there's a very good reason I selected that song for litation. First of all, love Stevie Ray Vaughan. He's fantastic. But a year and a half ago when I was in Austin, had the chance to go to the Texas State Museum. They had a whole exhibit on Stevie Ray Vaughan. Fantastic guitar player. Fantastic guitar player and incredible musician. And because the beer that I'm going to be enjoying today comes from Scuttlebutt Brewing, I figured what a great musical accompaniment. Scuttlebutton by Stevie Ray Vaughan, and we'll enjoy that. But my cigar, first of all, because Stevie Ray Vaughan was from Texas, and everything is big in Texas. Don't mess with Texas. From Alec Bradley, I've just pulled out the Texas Lancero. When Alan Rubin was going down to one of the factories in Central America, he came up with an idea. He said, you know what? I want to do a Lancero, but I want to do something for Texas. And everything's big in Texas, so he created a massive cigar. And he's calling it the Texas Lancero. One size, 7 inches in length, with a 70 ring gauge. It is over an inch in diameter. And it's finished with a Cuban-style pig tape tail, which is normally reserved for the long, thin Lancero size that you originally saw from Cuba. And now many of the Dominican, Nicaraguan, Honduran manufacturers, when they do a Lancero, they do the traditional Cuban pigtail. Texas Lancero, a big and bold cigar, but it's medium in body. Very, very smooth, remarkably smooth. Nicaraguan wrapper, Indonesian binder, three filler blend, Nicaragua, Honduras, and Costa Rica. It's big and bold, a lot of flavor, but it's very smooth. Medium in flavor. It's a great looking cigar. Love the name Texas Lancero. In fact, at the Cigar Retailers Convention this summer, they got a whole big bar with all different cigars and bundles. And, of course, I just go behind and I see Alan Rubin and George Sosa and Ralph Montero. And I just go back and make myself at home. And I'm like, hey, I'm going to take a few of these. Hey, help yourself, whatever you want, General. And I hadn't had that many Texas Lanceros. I said, you know what, I'm going to take about a half dozen. Well, I smoked one a few weeks ago and loved it. So today, I'll smoke the Alec Bradley Texas Lancero. Great accompaniment to the song by Stevie Ray Vaughan, who is from Texas. And it'll pair up nicely with my libationary choice for Cigar Oktoberfest.
Cigar-altering and highly sharpened leaf-exposing device.
Self-sharpening double-edged stainless steel guillotine ready for action. And by the way, you need a large ring gauge guillotine. The ones that you bought from 20 years ago will not work. This is a 70 ring gauge size cigar. So you need a gigundous, either a bullet piercer or a guillotine, which is what I'm going to use today, or a big cigar scissors. That will work as well. But this guillotine can easily handle about a 78-80 ring gauge size cigar, no problem.
Maximum BTU flame-throwing and heat-producing apparatus.
I got from the Cigar Dave Research and Development Labs, the Mala. Make America Lightate again. Fantastic lighter from the R&D lab guys with the white coats and the pocket protectors. Giant lightation device. Four big flames, big tank. Make America Lightate again. Even in red, and it's got white lettering on the side. Pretty cool. Nice job to our R&D guys.
Cigar pre-lightation checklist complete. No faults detected. Area clear of all enemies of pleasure. Approval to go throttle up in 3, 2, 1.
Perfect cut. Beautiful. On this giant Alec Bradley Texas Lancero. Fantastic looking cigar now. I will gently toast the foot of this Lancero. By the way, you cannot be in a rush to go ahead and toast and light this Alec Bradley Texas Lancero. It's a 70 ring gauge. So you got to make sure, number one, that you toast the wrapper and binder first. Then you get to the filler. I'm taking my time. I don't want any black spots or dead zones. Otherwise, it will not burn correctly. And I want to enjoy every single puff of this gigundous beauty. 7 inches in length, 70 ring gauge, over an inch in diameter. Beautiful cigar. All right, let me just puff and rotate now. Toasting done. Oh, nice. A lot of flavor on this bad boy. It's Texas. What's big in Texas? I always say, Texas Lancero big cigars, women with big hair, and women with big racks. Everything's big, and guys with big hats. Everything's big in Texas.
By the way, I should say,
after my visit to Texas, I started thinking, you know, I should be a cattleman, I should be an oil man. It sounds good. What do you do? I'm an oil man. I'm a cattleman. I'm from Texas. So I changed my name. I'm Davy Bob. And I bought me a 1977 Cadillac Eldorado, and I got the big cattle antlers right on the front of it. Can't miss it. In fact, I bought it used from a guy named L. Mays. It was available on eBay. I saw it. I said, okay, you know what? Guy named L. Mays. That was it. Picked it up. Got the big horns and everything. I mean, it looks like it's from Texas. Everything's bigger in Texas. I tell you, when I drive around in the cigar city of Tampa, I get a lot of looks. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. But nonetheless,
there's Texas Lancero. Needs a little touch-up. Very nice. And in fact, what's interesting,
when I bought that Cadillac Eldorado with the antlers on the front, cattle antlers, I talked to this guy. His name was El Mays, and he said the only guys that drove it were me and my two sons. That was it. I treated it like the cream puff that it is, in his Texas accent. And I said, well, El, that's what he called himself, El. I said, El, if that's the case, then I'm sold. And that was it. Drove it back from Texas, San Antonio, here to the Cigar City. Tell you what, looks great in the old driveway. All right, let me finish puffing and rotating on this gigundic stick. Gigundic stick. All right, I am good. Take a few puffs. Now, as we celebrate Cigar Oktoberfest, I need a proper brew to accompany this Alec Bradley Texas Lancero cigar.
Scotch, bourbon, and beer. Commence thirst-quenching libationary maneuvers.
All right, I've just pulled out a very nice chilled bottle of Homeport Blonde Ale from Scuttlebutt Brewing Company in Everett, Washington, the Pacific Northwest. What else besides the Scuttlebutt Brewing Company is in Everett, Washington? The Boeing Everett Factory. That was the factory that's the largest building in the world by volume. 472.4 million cubic feet. It covers 98.7 acres. That is incredible. Factory where the Boeing 747, the 767, the 777, and the 787 are assembled. It is just south of Seattle. Everett, Washington. Not only known for the Boeing Everett factory, but also for their beer. Interesting story about Scuttlebutt Brewing Company. They were founded in 1996 by Phil and Cynthia Scuttlebannon. And she got her name, her nickname, Scuttlebutt, by her father before she was born because it was the scuttlebutt or gossip at the Norfolk Naval Station where they were stationed at the time. So he called her Scuttlebutt when she was born until her 13th birthday when, at her request, he discontinued the name by dropping the last syllable, and she's been called Scuttle ever since. So Scuttlebutt Brewing Company, and I have pulled out their Homeport Blonde Ale, one of their year-round beers, in addition to their Amber Ale, their Gale Force IPA, their Porter, and their Hefeweizen. This is a clean and crisp beer, balanced, light-bodied, subdued fruitiness. And let me open it up here and pour it. What did I do with my opener here? I know I've got there it is. It's under my litation device. Okay, let's do this. Let me bring that. Here we go. Okay, we open that up. We're going to pour that. Nice amount of foam. And as we learned, it is good to let the foam kind of just work itself out of the bottle when you put it in your glass. Otherwise, it expands in your stomach. Not optimal. As I look at this, it's got a beautiful, light, golden blonde color. The aroma on it, a little citrusy, a little lemon, a little very fresh. It uses Nuggets and Tettnanger hops. 4.6% alcohol by volume. Let's see if I can get a better cheers out of that. That's about the best I'm going to get. So I'll say cheers. Happy Cigar Oktoberfest. Very nice. Definitely fruity, very light, but lots of flavor. The Nuggets and Tettnanger hops give it just a little bit of hoppiness, not much, on the International Bitterness Unit scale, one being the least, 100 the most, 17. So it's got 17 IBUs, International Bitterness Units. So not very bitter. I mean, for an ale, it's definitely on the lighter side, but very, very nice. Take another sip here. That is nice. Got a lot of citrus lemon zip to it. Take a puff. My Texas Lancero from Alec Bradley. I would say that is very nice. Now, Scuttlebutt Brewing has some seasonal beers. One of them I am trying to get my hands on. It's called the 10 Degrees Below. It's got a polar bear on it. nice light blue background. And it looks chilly. It looks like winter, but I love polar bears. Love the polar bear. 10 Below is an Imperial Dunkelweiss spiced with molasses that's medium-bodied and has a rich chocolate finish using Mount Hood and American Zass hops, 22 IBUs, 7.4% alcohol by volume. I'm going to try to get my hands on that because that 10 Below looks like it would be a delicious beer right around Thanksgiving, Christmas, Hanukkah, New Year's, President's Day, right in that winter part of the year. So as I take another puff of my Alec Bradley Texas Lancero, very nice. Take another sip of my Scuttlebutt Homeport Blonde Ale. The National Cigar Litation Libation Ceremony is complete. Got some Stevie Ray Vaughan. Got a great cigar. Got a great beer. Life is good. All right, when we come back, John Meyer. Sergeant Steve, is it John Meyer or John Mayer?
John Mayer.
John Mayer. As you can tell, I'm not a fan. Not a fan of his music. Very chicky. I went and tried to pull up some of his hits. There was like one that I barely recognized. Very chicky, very wussified music. Good guitar player. Not like Stevie Ray Vaughan, but still very good. So when we come back, I'm going to tell you about a little tirade that John Mayer went on against Alphas.
This is Carl Vaught, and I'm with Dan Scott of Eagle Eye Painting. And Dan's doing all the painting in our new studios. Dan, you've been doing this for 20 years. What should people be looking for at this time of the year?
Peeling paint, moisture in their wood, moisture in the stucco would be a couple things to look for. And then they know it's time to paint.
You've got, with 20 years in the business, where are some of the places you've been working at around here?
I've painted Riverview Golf and Country Club, SJ Denim, Market Street Steakhouse. Those are just a few I've painted.
The thing I like about Eagle Eye Painting is when you give an estimate, that estimate stays there. It doesn't change halfway through the job.
No, there's no variation in my proposal. I have confidence in my numbers, and I stick to those. DanScottPainting.com, 530-400-5152. Eagle Eye Painting, a clear vision of craftsmanship. Eagle Eye Painting.
Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment in business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
Chateau Privet, the Gurkha Marquesa, and Gurkha Ghost Gold, all three unique flavor profiles. The Gurkha Chateau Privet, more traditional, mild, and creamy cigar, typically found in many of the high-end Dominican cigars. Exquisite flavor, very velvety on the palate, featuring an Ecuadorian De Florada wrapper. The Gurkha Marquesa, very Cubanesque all the way around from flavor and packaging. With an earthy Sumatra wrapper, Gurkha Marquesa is a bold, well-balanced, medium-bodied, and spicy cigar. The Gurkha Ghost Gold, a little different than the regular Gurkha Ghost, more flavor, a little bit bolder, featuring an Ecuadorian Habano wrapper. Instead of a sweet flavor on the Gurkha Ghost, it's a more nutty and earthy profile. The Gurkha Chateau Privet, the Gurkha Marquesa, and Gurkha Ghost Gold, three new cigars just launched by Gurkha. Cigar connoisseurs love expanding their palate taste profile horizons. The best way to do that is to join the Cigar Dave Officers Club, where every month you will get fabulous cigars shipped directly to you. For October 2018, we are featuring the A.J. Fernandez Sampler. Three magnificent cigars from A.J. Fernandez, rolling great cigars in his huge Nicaraguan factory. First, the A.J. Fernandez Bellas Artes, a beautiful, smooth, delightful, rich cigar featuring a Rojita Nicaraguan wrapper. Then we've got the A.J. Fernandez Enclave Broadleaf. It is loaded with power, no trace of harshness, but lots of spiciness. Finally, the A.J. Fernandez San Latano Requiem Maduro featuring a Mexican San Andrean Marron wrapper. Just an amalgamation of chocolate, light sweetness, and creaminess. Join the Cigar Dave Officers Club and get cigars like the A.J. Fernandez Sampler. Go to CigarDave.com, $22.95 per month, and join now.
Don't go anywhere. Cigar Dave is back in 2 minutes. Just one more minute until Cigar Dave returns. Your five-star general is back in 5, 4, 3, 2.
You are listening to the theme from The Delta Force. A great movie that was made starring Chuck Norris and Lee Marvin back in 1986. Released Feb 14, Valentine's Day, 1986. Action-packed adventure movie. Now, last week, I told you about the passing of Major General Sidney Shacknow, general that was a major general in the United States Army, retired in 1994 after 39 years of active service, passed away a couple of weeks ago. He was 84 when he passed away. Great American with an incredible story. At the age of 7, he was imprisoned in the Kovnau concentration camp by the Nazis during World War II. He was in the camp for 3 years, endured countless brutalities, and watched as virtually every member of his extended family were slaughtered, were brutally murdered. He escaped. He was liberated by the Russians. In 1950, Sidney Shacknow immigrated to Massachusetts. He attended school for the first time in his life. Now, I want you to think about this. He was 16 years old, first time ever going to school. After working his way through high school, he enlisted in the U.S. Army. He entered Officer Candidate School, received his commission in the U.S. Army Infantry. He was in the Army Special Forces, known as the Green Berets, served there for 32 years, kept getting promoted captain, commander, and then all the way up until he was Major General. And what is interesting is he ended up serving back in Berlin, overseeing the U.S. forces. Now think about this. The Nazis were the ones that put him in the concentration camp as a child. The Nazis brutally murdered his family. He comes back to Berlin to protect the people of Germany from the Russians who had liberated him. The Russians liberated him in World War II. Now think about that. And he always told that story. Great American, great human, passed away September 28th of this year. One of the other reasons I love Sidney Shacknow, he endorsed President, or at the time, candidate Donald Trump, September 6, 2016, though he was critical of some of Donald Trump's foreign policy proposals, but I think Major General Shacknow certainly would be very pleased at his endorsement. And I kept saying to myself last week, and I said, Sergeant Steve, I remember seeing this movie. I couldn't remember the name of the movie. It was Delta Force. I couldn't name the actor who looked exactly like Major General Sidney Shacknow. And then I went back and it dawned on me. The Delta Force. Lee Marvin. Lee Marvin played in the movie The Delta Force. And he actually played a retired Army commander that leads this mission to save and extract a hijacked plane from Beirut. And the movie, the soundtrack to the movie is incredible. Sergeant Steve, if this music ends, hit it one more time. I mean, I could listen to this over and over and over and over again. It was composed by Alan Silvestri, who scored numerous, numerous well-known movies and shows. If you ever watched the TV show in the late 70s, early 80s, The Chips, he composed the music to that. He composed the music to Who Framed Roger Rabbit, Back to the Future trilogy, Forrest Gump, just a whole bunch of different movies and TV shows. And so when he was asked about the theme to Delta Force, because it just has this energy, this drive. In fact, I'll play that in my iPhone, have my earphones in when I'm walking or working out. Just gives you a lot of motivation. And he told the story. He was asked, how did you come up, how did you create that incredible theme? He said, actually, I was in a meeting with Chuck Norris for about 5 minutes, and we were talking, and Chuck was talking about how he was going to play the role, and it just hit me. It just hit me, the energy, the explosiveness, just being in the room with Chuck Norris, all that alpha maleness, that masculinity rubbed off, and bam, I created it, and it was relatively easy. But let's pump that up. I'll stop talking. Take a listen to this. Love the theme to the Delta Force. If you have not seen the Delta Force, go to Amazon Prime. I think it's maybe on Netflix. Rent it, whatever. It is a phenomenal action-packed movie. Light a cigar, grab a whiskey or a bourbon. Trust me, crank up the speakers. You will absolutely love it. Great movie. And we have just posted pictures, side-by-side pictures, at CigarDave.com and on our Twitter feed, Instagram feed, and our Facebook feed of Major General Sidney Shacknow and Lee Marvin next to each other. They are like spitting image of each other. They just have that Green Beret tough look. Real quickly, got an email from Lieutenant Mike, Citrus Hills, Florida. He said, General, please give our area a shout-out. We love listening to your show. My wife says your voice is sexy. I listen all the time, and she has to because I do. Trump, make America great. Ybor City shout-out. Thanks, Mike from Citrus Hills, Florida. Central part of Florida. So there's the shout out. By the way, Mike, your wife has impeccable taste. She's an honorary member of the harem. She thinks I have a sexy voice. She's obviously a very smart woman with impeccable taste. Keep her around. You're a member of the Cigar Dave Officers Club. Our AJ Fernandez sampler has been mailed and is being mailed. Was mailed yesterday, mailed Monday. You'll have it next week. You will love it. Hour number two of the Cigar Dave Show from Avid Brewing in St.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell with Maxwell Insurance and Financial. As a community, we are all recovering from the car fire. We understand the seriousness of this disaster and the frustration of dealing with the insurance companies. Insurance policies can be very difficult to understand. If you have questions about your insurance policy and need help in any way, please feel free to give us a call at 221-0441. This is Judy Maxwell with Maxwell Insurance and Financial.
Securities offered through Mutual of Omaha Investor Services Incorporated, a registered broker-dealer member FINRA and SIPC. Advisory services offered through Mutual of Omaha Investor Services Incorporated, a SEC-registered investment advisory firm. Judy Maxwell, representative. Maxwell Insurance and Financial and Mutual of Omaha Investor Services Incorporated are not affiliated. The information presented is intended for educational purposes only. It is not intended to replace the advice of an attorney or a qualified tax professional. This is not an offer or solicitation in any jurisdiction where they are not authorized to do business. Registered branch address, 1378 Hilltop Drive, Redding, California, 96003.
KCNR, Shasta, Redding. You're listening to KCNR 1460, Community Talk Radio for the North State. This is KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. Smiles all around at the White House this afternoon as President Trump welcomed Pastor Andrew Brunson to the Oval Office shortly after he and his wife landed at Andrews Air Force Base. The North Carolina evangelical preacher was released by Turkey after being held there for 2 years over allegations he helped terror groups. Mr. Trump says officials in his administration and Congress worked tirelessly to win his freedom.
They fought so hard for you. They wanted you out. And again, we've been negotiating long and hard. We do not pay ransom in this country.
Brunson thanked the president, also prayed for him, asking God for supernatural wisdom for Mr. Trump and to protect him and let him be a blessing to the country. Cleanup continues in Florida and the southeast after Hurricane Michael. Power and cell phone service starting to be restored in parts of Florida's storm-battered panhandle. Still some 200,000-plus customers in the state without power. Hundreds turned out for a funeral today for eight members of the same family who were killed in a limousine accident that claimed the lives of 20 people last week in upstate New York.
The four sisters, three of their husbands, and another relative were remembered as mourners hugged and cried at the church in Amsterdam, New York. State Assemblyman Angelo Santabarbara says the service was emotional.
Very tough for the entire community. My heart goes out to these families. It's just heartbreaking to see tragedy like this.
The family members were celebrating a birthday when the stretch limo blew through a stop sign and hit two pedestrians before crashing and killing all 18 inside, including the driver. The operator of the limo company is charged with criminally negligent homicide. His lawyer says he's not guilty. I'm Julie Walker.
Get more news, read more analysis at townhall.com.
This is Michael Medved. I'm here with Mike Stahl from Health Markets, helping folks find the right Medicare coverage. The news reports say that the rates might be going down.
The cost of many Medicare plans are decreasing this year. So you have to ask yourself, are you getting the best rate? Health Markets offers a free service with access to thousands of Medicare plans. Plans that can eliminate your out-of-pocket costs. Plans with $0 premiums. And even plans that pay you back.
What is it people need to keep in mind?
With so many new options, it can be confusing. You can get objective help to find a plan that may cost less and cover more. With lower copays, more choices like dental, vision, and prescription drug coverage, and the freedom to see the doctors you choose. Don't miss out on savings you deserve. Our Health Markets Medicare assistance is free.
Thanks, Mike. This is Michael Medved for Health Markets.
Find out if you can get a Medicare plan that pays you back. Call 800-735-8803. That's 800-735-8803. 800-735-8803.
Overseas, there are now new details about possible evidence regarding the disappearance of a Saudi journalist. Ben Thomas has more.
A pro-government newspaper is reporting that Turkish officials have an audio recording of the alleged killing of journalist Jamal Khashoggi. The audio reportedly comes from Khashoggi's Apple Watch, which he was wearing when he walked into the Saudi consulate in Istanbul over a week ago. Turkish security officials have leaked information about the case through the Sabah newspaper before. It reports authorities have recovered the audio from Khashoggi's iPhone and his iCloud account. The journalist had given his phones to his fiancée, who was waiting outside the consulate when he disappeared. Meanwhile, the Saudi Interior Minister, Prince Abdulaziz bin Saud, calls reports of official orders to kill Khashoggi baseless lies. Ben Thomas, Washington.
Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. When Toys R Us closed its doors recently, customers mourned the loss of a beloved brand that conjured memories of their own childhood.
Retailers, on the other hand, saw an opportunity. Rather than cede any more ground to online behemoth Amazon, companies like Target, Walmart, and Party City ramped up their offerings. Now ahead of the pivotal holiday season, they're going even further by focusing on making their stores a dynamic shopping experience. That means creating play areas for kids, offering demos of new toys, and staging events like scavenger hunts in the stores. Retailers are trying to grab a piece of the nearly $3 billion left on the table by Toys R Us, or 12% of the U.S. toy market. Patrick Foss reporting.
Walmart buying online lingerie retailer Bare Necessities. It's the latest acquisition in the niche buying spree. The big box retailer says that Bare Necessities will remain as a standalone site. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Ron Rockstrom.
I'm more than a bird.
The Cascade Theater presents an intimate performance with Five for Fighting at the historic Cascade Theater in Reading, October 23rd. John Ondrasik's one-man band burst onto the scene with his Grammy-nominated hit Superman and melted hearts with ballads like 100 Years. Five for Fighting makes a special appearance at the Cascade Theater October 23rd with a string quartet. Five for Fighting. Tickets at 243-8877 or cascadetheater.org.
What does it take to be called the best of the North State? More importantly, what does it take to be called the best in the North State 12 years in a row? It takes a business ownership, management, and staff that work together to let their customers know that they're not just customers, they're family. Since 1982, Orchard Nutrition Center has held to that commitment. Their commitment to bring to you the best possible products at the lowest possible prices. To never buy closeouts, overstocks, outdated, improperly formulated, or otherwise stressed merchandise. To provide you with a trained professional staff to help you make the right product decisions for the health of you and your family. To listen, to respond, and to always say thank you. Because we realize that we're all in this together. What does it take to be called the best in the North State 12 years in a row? It takes you. Thank you from everyone at Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
World of cigars, spirits, and diversions. The cigar and pleasure-friendly hotlines are open. 877-DAVE-007. Now, fire up a cigar and pour yourself a cocktail. It's time for the General Cigar Dave.
We continue with week two of Cigar Oktoberfest here on the Cigar Dave Show. We celebrate cigars, we celebrate beer, and we combine them, we pair them together. Now, you can go and purchase beer at a store. You can go purchase beer at a craft brewery. You can go to a microbrew. But what if you would like to create and make your own brew, your own beer? Well, that's exactly what we will talk about in this hour. Home Brew 101. Home Brewing 101. Everything you need to know about brewing your own beer. It has become a huge hobby across the country. It is 100% legal, and we continue from Avid Brew Company, downtown St. Petersburg. And today, for the next hour, we'll be joined by Jeff Keller, the owner, Connor Meyer, their master brewer, and we will teach you to brew your own beer. We welcome you back, lieutenants, front and center, and as always, follow us along CigarDave.com. You can follow us on social media, and we are tweeting pictures, and we've got some beautiful beers that are in front of us. Now, many times we see, we've done stories, we've interviewed people who are in the beer industry, craft brewing, and they have said, and I've asked them, how did you get into beer? They said, well, I love drinking it, number one. And number two, I decided to get into home brewing, and that's a hobby that really has taken off, I think, in the last 5 to 10 years. And we've seen many craft breweries that have been started by home brewers, brewing enthusiasts. So today, we will teach you everything you need to know about brewing your own beer. Maybe along the way, you'll say, maybe I'm going to try this at least once. So we will give you everything you need to know. So first up, Connor Meyer, Jeff Keller, the owner and proprietor of Avid Brew Company. A pleasure to be here on site. And as I look around here, I almost want to start brewing something instantly.
Thanks for coming, Dave. Yeah, we've got a small little brew system here. It's fun to play with.
Well, I'm looking at some of your beers here that look magnificent. We also have some raw ingredients. But the first thing I'm looking at is a very big chalkboard. And there are 8 different steps on creating your own beer. In fact, it's called Science of Brewing. Now, before we even talk about step 1, which is water, malted grain, hops, yeast, adjuncts, I think the first thing is some of the equipment that you need to actually brew. So let's talk about if somebody wants to be a home brewer.
Right.
There's different ways. I know there's Mr. Beer, if I'm not mistaken. There's other things, and you sell everything here. But talk about what equipment is needed to brew your own beer.
Well, you're basically going to need a big pot. That's where you're going to do your mashing in. That's where you do your boiling in. You're also going to need some fermenters, and those come in the form of basically a 5-gallon bucket or 6-gallon bucket works. Of course, like a food grade plastic is best. Carboys, which are like water jugs, those are probably more preferred. They just look better, and they come in glass and also PET plastic. Depending on how many beers you want to brew is pretty much at the same time as how many fermenters you're going to need. It's kind of like retail rental space. It's once your fermenters are full, then you got to get another one.
Good problem to have, by the way.
It is a good problem. Beer is a good problem when you have lots of it. But you're going to need some basic, you know, hydrometers. You're going to need a bottle capper, a big spoon, and then patience.
You cannot rush the hands of time.
You cannot, no. So once you start making your beer, the whole process takes about 30 days. So you'll have your official brew day, which is usually 3 to 4, maybe 5 hours. After that, you let your beer do its thing and just ferment, you know, at a certain temperature for a couple weeks, and then usually bottle age or bottle condition after that. You could also go into a keg, which takes another week or two.
Well, the nice thing about home brewing as opposed to – well, first of all, home brewing is 100% legal as opposed to distilling your own distilled spirits, meaning vodka or whiskey, moonshine. And there's a reason. There's a couple of reasons for that. But first, I think probably the most important is health and safety.
Right, right. Yeah, in distilling, you could really mess some people up by, you know, poisoning them.
Well,
or you could blow yourself up as well. You could make a bomb.
Because I think there's 2 types of alcohol. There's what? Ether alcohol and ethyl. And one is deadly, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct.
Yeah, one is deadly and one you can drink. One
is
okay.
Right, right.
And the key is you want to get the one that you can drink that's okay. But there's much more regulation, and that's why you see these moonshiners. It's technically legal. But home brewing is legal. And Connor Meyer, the master brewer, home brewing, 100% legal, very different than distillation as we were talking about.
Absolutely.
Yeah, get that mic nice and close.
Absolutely.
Even closer.
Oh, absolutely.
Much better. Much better. Third time is the charm. Nice. So a very big difference. And what type of people are you seeing coming in? Is there any specific age range, or is it more men than women? Give us an idea of who's coming in here to actually learn how to homebrew.
For the most part, it's 25 to 35-year-old men and a little bit older. Mostly people that have found that they either want to make it cheaper or they want to make something that they can't get at the breweries, and they want to have something seasonal for themselves so they can make for each season, for each day, for each month, or for an event or for a party. They want to make theirs. They want to have their own thing going.
Well, I think there's also something very cool and I think maybe a little bit romantic about saying, I'm a home brewer. I brew my own beers, where you have people at a party and you can sample some of their beers and people can actually be very proud of the offerings that they're serving.
Absolutely. It is.
You know, I think there's something, there's a wow factor to that.
Oh, yeah. You can add your own flavors. You can do anything you want. So you can make it as strong or as light, dark and heavy, or, you know, barrel aged or whatever you like.
Now, one of the people that we know mutually, Phil Azun, who is he's known as Phil Our Blend on the Cigar Dave Show, my producer for many years, now helps us with creative services. He is a home brewer. And
he
comes in here, purchases home brewing supply, and he's told me, he said, I finished very high. I didn't win the award yet. And, of course, I razz him about it all the time. But the one thing he always tells me is that he loves to be able to experiment and try different things. And I think that's probably the one commonality with home brewers is they want to try, they want to have fun. It's a hobby.
He's making some great beer, by the way.
He is.
One of his IPAs are pretty – they're off the charts.
Yeah. What makes a beer off the charts? How does a home brewer able to be able to brew something to say, that's off the charts? What is it? Is it the ingredients? Is it how they ferment?
It's all in perspective and personal taste. You know, I like IPAs. Some people hate them. You know, I'm not a big stout guy, but that's all some people will ever drink. So to make a chart, you know, that fluctuates or, you know, is relevant to someone's taste, I don't know how you can do that. It's all personal taste.
But overall, what about the beer did you enjoy?
Probably the aroma, the clearness, the crispness, the overall flavor. You know, the last IPA did, I think it was a mango or something like that in there, and it was just full of flavor.
And again, there's no right or wrong. So you could have five homebrewers coming up with an IPA. Everyone's going to be slightly different depending on what they put in and I guess the hops they use and the other ingredients. So really, it is a custom creation.
Also their equipment and their brew style and how they did it specifically. I mean, the temperatures can change everything, temperatures of fermentation, temperatures of your mash. Everything can change, and each brewer has different preferences based on what they want out of it. So you can make it drier. You can make it a little more body. You can give it more aroma by adding hops late. You can give it a little bit more bitterness by adding hops really early. So, I mean, each brewer knows what they like and know what they want. And, I mean, there's great beer in every style, and every little bit is a little different, but it's wonderful in its own way.
So we have learned so far that before we even get into the science of brewing and home brewing, before we go through the eight steps, you need some key equipment. And, Jeff, as you mentioned, brew kettles, fermentation vessel, a fermentation lock, a spoon. Is that to sample the beer while you're making it?
Sure, you got to taste it with your creation.
It's like creating a soup. I got to taste it. I got to try it. The hydrometer, bottles, an auto siphon, bottle cappers, bottle caps, starter kit. You said some jugs and also sanitizer, which is important, which we will talk about. We're at Avid Brew Company in downtown St. Petersburg, Florida, with Jeff Keller, the owner, and master brewer Connor Meyer. We are talking home brewing 101. When we come back, the science of brewing. We will tell you everything you need to know to create your own brew.
The Cigar Dave Officers Club selection this month is an A.J. Fernandez sampler, including the Bellis Artist Toro. This Spanish box press beauty is decadent in flavor and aroma and will spoil your palate with notes of cream, white pepper, cinnamon, and orange peel. Want these cigars shipped directly to you each month? Log on to CigarDave.com to join the Officers Club.
America is under attack. Basic freedoms, privileges, and acts that we would normally take for granted are disappearing each day, including the simple ability to enjoy a cigar. This is Glenn Loop, Executive Director of Cigar Rights of America, CRA. At a time when elected officials should be thinking about education, public safety, and creating jobs, they are actually thinking about smoking bans, new taxes, and regulations of historic proportions on premium cigars. The cigars that provide us with pleasure, relaxation, and fellowship are under attack. We have to stop it. That's why Cigar Rights of America was created, to work for a new political day for cigar enthusiasts across America, to roll back restrictive laws and defeat onerous taxes and regulations that impact everyone from your local cigar shop to your personal humidor. For the price of a few great cigars, be a part of this effort to protect your right to enjoy a cigar without excessive taxation and cumbersome legislation. Go to CigarRights.org. Let's tell the government we've had enough. Join now, CigarRights.org.
We will continue with Jeff Keller, Connor Mayer of Avid Brewing Company in St. Pete, with Home Brewing 101 just around the corner. But first up, if you are a member of the Cigar Dave Officers Club, good news, the A.J. Fernandez sampler has been mailed. You should start receiving it beginning part of the week or into later next week, depending on where you reside geographically. But we have selected three fabulous cigars from A.J. Fernandez. First up, the A.J. Fernandez Bellas Arts. The second is the A.J. Fernandez Enclave Broadleaf. The third is the A.J. Fernandez San Latano Requiem Maduro. Nice cross-section. First up, the Bellas Artes from A.J. Fernandez, inspired by the museum in Cuba, the National Fine Arts Museum. It is adorned in A.J. Fernandez's exclusive Rojita Nicaraguan wrapper, delivers a smooth, delightful a taste of cinnamon and cedar, fabulous cigar. Then the Enclave Broadleaf, which I absolutely love. If you seek a full-bodied, full-flavored cigar, the Enclave Broadleaf is it. Combination of Connecticut Broadleaf wrapper, Nicaraguan fillers, just superb spiciness, loaded with power, but no harshness whatsoever. And finally, the A.J. Fernandez San Lotano Requiem Maduro, named after A.J.'s birthplace in Cuba. The San Lotano Requiem Maduro, very rich cigar wrapped in a magnificent, oily Mexican San Andreas Marron wrapper. It's an amalgamation of chocolate, light sweetness, creaminess. Three great cigars for October in the October 2018 Officers Club selection from A.J. Fernandez. If you're not a member, go to CigarDave.com. $22.95 per month gets you the latest and greatest in the world of cigars. Let's continue our Cigar Oktoberfest celebration with Homebrewing 101 as we learn the eight steps of the science of brewing. Back to Avid Brewing Company in St. Petersburg. Celebrating Cigar Oktoberfest by teaching you how to home brew as we get into the science of brewing today on our Cigar Oktoberfest editions of the Cigar Dave Show. We're at Avid Brew Company, downtown St. Pete, where you can buy supplies, you can learn how to brew. We're with Jeff Keller, the owner, Connor Meyer, the master brewer. And gentlemen, I have to say, thank you for wearing your lederhosen and dressing up, really getting into the Oktoberfest spirit. Looks
you're,
good.
You're welcome, Dave.
You guys pulled off nicely. For you. I'm telling you, I like the little feather in the hat. You guys look like German pimps.
We just got it off a pheasant running across the street.
And actually, there's the Hofbrauhaus not far from where we are. So
right down the street.
There you go. Now, before we get into, we actually talked about what you need, what equipment. So I'm looking at a board here, the science of brewing. There are eight steps. First is the ingredients. Second is mashing grains. Number three is sparging. Number four is boiling. Number five is adding hops. Number six is chilling. Number seven is pitching yeast. That's not like pitching a tent, is it?
Close,
okay. Eight, fermentation and bottling. And there's nine that's not on there, and that is drinking and enjoying.
That's right. That's the best one.
That's the most important.
Why is it not on there?
That's right. We'll get into that because I'm looking at four magnificent samples here. But first, let's talk about the ingredients necessary to make beer. Everybody knows you need water, good water to start.
Right.
Can't have bad water. No matter what the spirit, it's got to start with good water.
It's got to start with good water. Water is the main ingredient in beer. So if your water tastes good, then, you know, if you're happy with the water, then that's your base of your beer.
Now, we don't have great water in Florida.
No.
That is a scientifically known fact. It doesn't taste. It's not like in Kentucky where you go to the Jack Daniel's distillery in Lynchburg and then there's limestone stream where they get all the water.
Unfortunately not.
We don't have that. So what do you have to do because of the bad water that you know, we get off out of the tap here?
Well, kind of interesting. If you look at the history of beer from all over the world, like Germany, Belgium, and England, you have beer styles that are based around the water profile they have. So, I mean, like England, you have the IPAs and porters. Germany, you have the lagers and the lighter beers. And then Belgium, you just have weird, crazy, awesome, delicious beers. But you can see the culture of beer has grown around what kind of waters they had. And you can now adjust your water with different mineral salts like calcium and sulfates. And you can adjust your water to whatever you want, especially if you have RO water. You can use that and build up.
And what is RO water?
Reverse osmosis. Just a really good filter.
Gotcha.
Basically makes water as pure as possible.
I mean, I think we think of the old Coors ads where you see one of the Coors family members talk, you know, he's in like a jacket. He's out by this beautiful stream in the Rocky Mountains that the water is pure. I mean, I think that's the image that most people have. But let's face it, water is different everywhere around the world, and there's some great beers anywhere you go around the world. So that's the first thing is obviously filter the water, and then you can add different compounds to it to get that water. So water's the first thing. The next thing you need is malted grain. What type of malted grain?
Barley is the most common one. You can also use wheat and rye.
Sure, because wheat
flakes
beers.
Corn for
corn and rice.
Sugar.
Well, when you think about corn, the number one ingredient in bourbon.
bourbon whiskeys. But when you think there's also wheat whiskeys, but wheat beers we've seen.
Mm-hmm.
So barley is number one. Wheat is probably number two.
Yes.
Okay. So you have malted grains. Then hops, which give it the tanginess or bitterness.
Bitterness, aromas, some of the flavors. Most of the flavors that you're really getting that are floral and citrusy are coming from the hops.
Okay. Yeast.
Yeast is really interesting as well because there's so many varieties of it and from all over the world. And you can have yeast that give you fruity flavors and yeast that give you spicy flavors and yeast that are completely neutral. So you can get all sorts of different flavors from yeast that are from all over the world.
All right. And then the last thing, adjuncts, which are?
Stuff like rye, fruits.
Mango?
Mango, yeah, absolutely.
Citrus?
All sorts of different things that you can put into the beer. Cinnamon.
Smoked peppers.
I was going to say
peppers.
Cinnamon, pumpkin.
Absolutely. So, I mean, it's just the additionals, whatever little things you want to add to it, coriander, for example.
Those aren't necessary, though. I mean, like a traditional German beer, as it's defined, only has grain, hops, water, and yeast.
Well, and I think you have beer purists that say, I can't have anything. But right. I think if you take a look at the changing tastes and demographics of people who consume beer, I think people want variety. They want new things. They're not concerned with, well, I've got to have exactly the way they did it in Bavaria in 1875.
No.
They want something that's going to be enjoyable and taste good. And I think if you take a look, I was at Shipyard Brewing last week. We did a tour up in Portland, Maine, and their number one beer is their pumpkin ale. And it's a great beer, flies off the shelves, tastes incredible, so there's no right, there's no wrong, it's what you enjoy.
It's that time of the year for pumpkin beer.
Exactly right. We're seeing that now, and also the Oktoberfest beers.
Right, yeah.
Those Marzen type of beers.
They're good.
All right, so now that we've got our ingredients, the water, the malted grain, hops, yeast, the adjunct ingredients. Next comes mashing of the grains. What is mashing?
So mashing is basically mixing the cracked grain with water. And what that does is with temperature, you can activate the enzymes natural within the grains to consume the starches and convert them into sugars. And the sugars is what you need to make alcohol. So that's what the yeast is going to eat.
Now, that's the boiling process?
Or that's just the mashing.
Just the mashing. So you basically take cold water. Or is
it's hot water. It's about 142 to 159 degrees.
Okay, hot water along with the malted grains,
mm-hmm.
whether it's wheat or whether it's barley.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just allow them to just sit.
Sit for about an hour, sometimes a little longer. There's also other profiles for mashing, like step mashing or decoction, where you take some out.
Now, what is step mashing?
Step mashing is where you start at a lower temperature and then raise it up and then raise it up again. And that gets you different profiles because there's different enzymes that are active throughout the entire mashing process.
And the enzymes converts the starch to sugar,
mm-hmm.
which gives you the sweetness. So I know that when I've been...
Well, it gives you the food for the yeast to convert to alcohol.
Food for the yeast to convert to alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. Okay. So you normally steep grains between 142 to 159 degrees.
Mm-hmm. And the different temperatures dictate whether the beer is going to be crisp and light and dry, like a dry wine, or have a little more body, like Guinness Stout has that full body flavor.
Higher the temperature, more body.
Absolutely.
Gotcha. Lower the temperature.
In 1 degree makes a big difference.
Does it really?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
How much of a difference?
Like if you try to brew the same beer twice and you're a couple degrees off, it'll be a very dramatically different beer.
So people that are home brewers, that's why you need a thermometer because you
absolutely.
Must be preferably a digital thermometer. Mm-hmm. I would say probably.
I actually prefer the alcohol glass thermometers.
Really?
Oh yeah. I mean they're accurate.
All right. Now all the ingredients we talked about, except the water, but malted grain, the hops, the yeast, the adjuncts, as well as the equipment to home brew, you sell here at Avid Brew Company.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And you'll help guide people.
We teach classes.
You teach classes. I better get to one of these classes pronto.
They're a lot of fun.
And
we
want
a lot of beer in those classes.
And well, I know one thing I'm going to put in there. I want to try something, taking some of the Jack. I've got some Jack Daniel's barrel staves.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe finishing it off. So we'll talk about that. We're at Avid Brew Company in downtown St. Petersburg, Florida, with Jeff Keller, the owner, and master brewer Connor Meyer. We have learned that the ingredients you need and how to mash grains. When we come back, we'll talk about sparging, boiling, and adding the hops. Science of Brewing, Home Brewing 101 today on Cigar Oktoberfest.
never miss a minute of the show when you download the Cigar Dave mobile app for Apple, Android, and Kindle devices. You can listen to our 24/7 continuous stream of the latest show or download the recent podcasts to listen to anytime on your mobile device. Get the Cigar Dave mobile app in the App Store. Search Cigar Dave.
Gurkha has just launched three new cigars at the Cigar Dave Alpha Pleasure Fest on the water in Buffalo. The Gurkha Chateau Privé, the Gurkha Marquesa, and Gurkha Ghost Gold. All three unique flavor profiles. The Gurkha Chateau Privé, more traditional, mild, and creamy cigar, typically found in many of the high-end Dominican cigars. Exquisite flavor, very velvety on the palate, featuring an Ecuadorian De Florada wrapper. The Gurkha Marquesa, very Cubanesque all the way around from flavor and packaging. With an earthy Sumatra wrapper, Gurkha Marquesa is a bold, well-balanced, medium-bodied, and spicy cigar. The Gurkha Ghost Gold, a little different than the regular Gurkha Ghost, more flavor, a little bit bolder, featuring an Ecuadorian Habano wrapper. Instead of a sweet flavor on the Gurkha Ghost, it's a more nutty and earthy profile. The Gurkha Chateau Privé, the Gurkha Marquesa, and Gurkha Ghost Gold, three new cigars just launched.
If you're looking into a remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio, there's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite and Things.
Now, this is Carl Bott. Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days while Linda and I went on vacation. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite and Things. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard, Estate Granite and Things, or visit us at estategranite.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kara Tennant with CARE Animal Hospital, and I'm inviting you to join me on the Carl and Linda Morning Show. We will be discussing all of Redding's local pet needs and how to keep your pet happy, healthy, and safe. CARE Animal Hospital is a local veterinary clinic located on the corner of Hilltop Drive and Lake Boulevard. Make sure your best friend has the best possible care today.
Join Dr. Kara Tennant the third Friday of each month in the 8 a.m. hour here on locally owned KCNR.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find fine ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Redding. Join the revolution.
Continuing Cigar Oktoberfest here on the Cigar Dave Show, the entire month of October, combining cigars and beer. We never need a reason or an occasion to celebrate, but certainly Oktoberfest and Cigar Oktoberfest is the perfect way to do so, perfect excuse for us to light up a fine cigar, do some beer pairings, and I'm looking at four magnificent beers here at Avid Brew Company, downtown St. Petersburg. We're talking about Home Brewing 101, the science of brewing. It has become an increasingly popular hobby. So this week we're talking about everything you need to know about home brewing, the equipment you need, the process. So we welcome you back to Avid Brew Company, downtown St. Petersburg, with Jeff Keller, the owner, and master brewer Connor Meyer. And I should say, gentlemen, that downtown St. Petersburg not only has experienced a renaissance in terms of restaurants and housing and activities, but it's really become a beer epicenter, a cool little micro center of beer activity.
Totally, it is. It's grown over the past few years. We've been here about 4 years. Green Bench kind of started the whole revolution around here and bringing in some different unique beers and Cycles, Following, Cage, Pinellas Ale Works, St. Pete Brewing, and still going.
And you know what? Sergeant Steve will put up a map at CigarDave.com where we will put little pins on all the different breweries that are in the downtown St. Petersburg area. Actually, we're looking at one right now. It's called the Brewery Bay. I didn't realize, just looking at the entire Cigar City area, Tampa Bay area, the number of breweries, but there's a ton of them in downtown St. Petersburg. So if you're considering a visit down, especially between the months of like December and March, perfect time if you're a beer enthusiast. Some great places, great restaurants, and great brew pubs right here in downtown St. Petersburg. So we'll outline that. Now, one of the things that you gentlemen mentioned, that brewing is all about time and temperature. And as we learned in step two, mashing of the grains, you basically steep the grains, whether it's wheat or whether it's cracked barley, in hot water between 142 degrees and 159 degrees. And you both said time and temperature, that's all brewing is about.
It's crucial.
Absolutely. I mean, if you don't go long enough, it's not going to convert all the starches, and then you're just going to have less alcoholic beer. And if you go too long, which isn't too much of a problem, but you can start extracting flavors you don't actually want. So an hour, hour and a half at the temperature you want for the body you're trying to find is really important to kind of nail down. And taking notes, being sure you're repeating, so if you make the same beer again, you can either not make the bad beer again or make the good beer again.
Remember those composition books we used to have back in grade school, where you'd write everything down? They were kind of bound. I would say if you're going to be a home brewer, that's a good investment to make, because every time you make a batch, I would assume the exact amount, the time, the temperature, so you could look back and take notes and say, you know, I like that particular beer, but let me try 1 degree more for maybe another few more minutes, see what that does. And then you hit that aha moment where you get exactly the formulation you're looking
for. It's a beautiful feeling.
I'm sure it is. You had it many times. So when you brew all your beers, everything the exact same way.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
You know that's...
I have an entire recipe notebook full of just notation throughout the whole process.
And that is guarded. I noticed a very large vault as you walk in here. And that is guarded. Nobody's getting near there. In fact, there's patrol dogs right around there. Secret Service. All right. So time and temperature, key elements in brewing. Now, after you mash the grains, and you said roughly, what, an hour?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What's the next step?
Sparging is basically a fancy word for rinsing the grains out.
Rinsing the grains.
You need to rinse that sugar out of the grains that you've converted, the starches you convert into sugars, and now you're trying to rinse all those sugars out into another pot, or take the grains out of that pot and rinse the sugars out of the grains. So you just want to separate the grains from the sugars.
So you want the sugars out.
No, you want the sugars in, so that you can use that to boil.
Ah, so you want the sugars.
You're trying to just remove the grain.
Oh, so once the grain is done, you don't need it anymore.
Nope.
Now, my understanding is that many breweries, when I was up at Shipyard Brewing, they told me that they sell the remnants, the grains, to various farms, so they get continuous reuse in the area.
Yeah, you can make dog biscuits out of it, too, and...
chickens, my chickens love it. They'll go crazy after a while, and they'll gorge on them.
So it's like a dry, it just becomes like when you dry it out, it just dries
up. It's pretty empty of any nutrition, but it's just grain.
Because chickens like it and dogs like
that
it.
Or compost. Compost is another alternative.
Okay.
And so we actually here have a man named Angel we give our grains to for his goats.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So basically, there's no waste whatsoever. Constant recycling.
That's it.
All right. Fantastic. So sparging, you are rinsing the sugar out of the grains. You're getting rid of the grains. You're retaining the sugar and the water.
Yep, which is called wort.
Wort. W-O-R-T. Now, I've actually sampled the wort, and when it's warm, tastes pretty good.
It's like a sweet tea.
Yeah. It is like a sweet tea.
The grain tea.
We were at Dunedin Brewing, and Mike Bryant said, try this. I said, boy, the smell is incredible. You could actually make a tea or a soup out of that thing. It was actually, I thought it was just drink it in and of itself.
We bottled a couple bottles of a black IPA, and it tasted just like a stout, a non-alcoholic stout because it doesn't have any alcohol in it. So it's pretty good stuff.
So the wort is basically the sugars with the water after you have mashed the grains. Mm-hmm. So the sparging is rinsing of the sugar out, and then you create the wort, and that's going to be the base of your beer.
Absolutely.
Okay, so that's your stock. That's your ingredients right there. That starts the process. So now that you've got the wort, which usually tastes sweet, got the sugars in there, you next go to the boiling component. What does boiling do?
Well, boiling does a couple things. It sanitizes it. It evaporates things that you don't actually want.
Such as?
Just fusel things, just things you're not actually going to need. It'll just evaporate, and it also evaporates water, so it condenses it. So you have a stronger sugar solution.
Got a stronger wort.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Also, what it does is as you add hops throughout the boil, the heat and the temperature actually change the hops into more bittering. So the longer you have the hops in the boil, the more bitter they become. The less time you have, the more flavor you have retained, because as you boil it longer, you're basically going to cook away all the flavors and aromas. So you put in hops throughout the entire process to get different flavors, aromas, and bitternesses out.
So that boiling is step four, and then adding the hops is step five. But let's talk about boiling.
Mm-hmm.
There's one temperature for boiling. We know that everything boils at the only one temperature. How long do you boil for?
Roughly an hour, sometimes up to 3 hours.
Now,
I boiled up to 8 hours at one point.
Now, you talked about being a brewer. It's all about time and temperature.
Mm-hmm.
Well, temperature, you know, boiling, that's a constant. But what time? How does that change?
An hour is a general length for a boil for a typical batch of beer.
If you do it for 8 hours, how does that differ?
Well, we did that for a little bit of fun. We made a 15% Grand Cru, which was a lot of fun. So we boiled it for a really long time to get the sugars really high.
So you want to, the longer you boil, the higher the sugars.
Yes, because you're evaporating the water.
You're evaporating the water.
Like reducing a sauce.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. Okay, interesting. So, but normally an hour on average. Okay, so step four is the boiling. So
as you boil along, you're also caramelizing the sugars in it. You're making it more sweet, and you're making it changing
rich.
The color as well. Also, yeah, more rich.
And I'll tell you, that is when I've sampled that. That's unbelievable. When it comes out and it's nice and warm, that's great for a sore throat, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
It tastes great. Yeah. I mean, it's got really cool tastes. And most people would say, you know, I'm happy right here, but there's more. So let me recap here. We start with water, malted grain, whether it's wheat, whether it is barley, hops, yeast, adjuncts. Adjuncts could be a little mango, could be pumpkin, could be cinnamon, other spices. Step two is mashing of the grains. We want to steep the grains in hot water between 142 degrees to 159 degrees. The higher the temperature, the higher the temperature, the fuller that it can become?
Correct.
Okay. Now, number three is sparging, which is rinsing the sugars out of the grains, creates the wort. We want to get rid of the spent grain, and now we want to have that water and those sugars create the wort. We then boil the wort, which is step four, and it concentrates the sugar. It sterilizes. It gets rid of anything that we don't really want in there, pulls the bitterness out. And then step five is adding the hops. Now, before we talk about adding hops, let's talk about exactly what hops are. Remember, many people say it's a term for beer flavor, beer taste. It's hoppy. It's not very hoppy. And that really relates to when you say hoppy, to me, the amount of spiciness, basically, or bitterness, if you will, more bitterness, I think, kind of bitterness units, I think, that would be on the palate. Is that correct?
Correct, yeah. I mean, you get some flavors. You get earthy flavors from the hops. You'll get tropical flavors, mostly aromas. You're not going to get any alcohol from the hops. It's all aroma.
So, but let's talk about the different, because there's hundreds of varieties of hops. And one of the things that I just recently read is that many craft brewers are having difficulty getting hops because there's such a demand with all these new craft breweries coming in that it takes a couple of years between the time they plant the seed to the time they're able to grow it and then let it sit. It's just like cigars. You can't just grow it and then say, great, I'm going to use it in 6 weeks. It's got to rest. It's got to age. It's got to ferment. So let's talk about hops, the different types of hops, where they come from, tasting notes of hops.
So a cool little fact about hops, and it kind of goes along with this, is that each hop variety, which there's hundreds of varieties, is actually a clone of the original type. So if you have a Cascade hop, every field of Cascade hop is a clone of the original. So they just take a part of the root and they regrow it. Because of that, if you get a disease that affects it specifically, it has no genetic mutations to protect itself. So you can have entire crops devastated by molds, by disease, and that can dramatically change how much are available that year. Say entire fields are gone, you're not going to have those. You have to try again. And that takes 3 or 4 years to get a real good harvest from a hop plant. They grow 18 feet high. So you have to, they grow the first year, and then they grow this next year, and they start producing really good the next year, and the third year is when they're really mature.
Now, Pacific Northwest, known for growing hops.
Mm-hmm. There's basically a belt around the planet from, like, I'd say southern Maine to northern Pennsylvania that goes all the way around the planet. That's, like, the best place to grow them.
In that latitude?
Mm-hmm.
And why is that?
Humidity, temperature, just everything, all the different things. Like here, it's way too hot, way too rainy for hops to grow. It just burns them out.
And where, how many varieties of hops do you sell here at Avid Brew Company?
We probably have about 30, maybe 40 types.
And so you get them from all over the world?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
What are some of the countries besides the United States?
Germany, Austria.
New Zealand.
Yeah.
Another one. That's Australia's been good.
And they all have different notes, different flavors.
Absolutely.
And I'm noticing here they can be floral, spicy, fruity, earthy, citrusy, or piney.
And there's others, too. Those are just kind of the main ones people are really looking for.
Okay. So we're adding hops throughout the boiling process.
Mm-hmm.
And how often do you add them?
It depends on the style. I mean, some you just do a little bit of bitterness. Some you do a little bit for just flavor. Most of the time.
This is Carl Bott, and I'm with Dan Scott of Eagle Eye Painting, and Dan's doing all the painting in our new studios. Dan, you've been doing this for 20 years. What should people be looking for at this time of the year?
Peeling paint, moisture in their wood, moisture in their stucco would be a couple things to look for, and then they know it's time to paint.
You've got, with 20 years in the business, where are some of the places you've been working at around here?
I've painted Riverview Golf and Country Club, SJ Denim, Market Street Steakhouse. Those are just a few I've painted.
The thing I like about Eagle Eye Painting is when you give an estimate, That estimate stays there. It doesn't change halfway through the job.
No, there's no variation in my proposal. I have confidence in my numbers, and I stick to those. DanScottPainting.com, 530-400-5152. Eagle Eye Painting, a clear vision of craftsmanship. Eagle Eye Painting.
You know, this time of year in Shasta County, the need to heat your home is probably the last thing on your mind, right? Well, my friend SSD Oil says this is the ideal time to trade in your old monitor heater on a spanking new Toyotomi and save yourself up to $250. Your qualifying model monitor heater earns you a huge allowance on a Toya stove that will keep you warm and cozy all winter long. This deal is as hot as a running sidewalk in summer. SSD Oil, 241-1167, 241-1167.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Lines, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Traditional line. All Padron cigars are wrapped in Nicaraguan sun-grown Habano tobacco, available in natural or maduro. Experience Padron. For your Padron retailer, call 1-800-453-5635. When Padron is on the band, quality is a matter of family honor.
Surgeon General warning, tobacco use increases the risk of infertility, stillbirth, and low birth weight.
Hi, this is Rocky Patel. If you're a beginner, or if you just enjoy a great mild cigar like I do in the morning, I suggest you try the Vintage 99. This 7-year-old Connecticut wrapper delivers a creamy, mild, smooth flavor. It's very, very balanced on your palate, and it absolutely is delightful. Tons of flavor, a perfect draw, and an incredible ash. This cigar is smooth. It will entice you to enjoying more and more of the Vintage 99s. It's just a nice, great, balanced, smooth cigar. Look for it, the oldest Connecticut shape in the market today. I'm Rocky Patel, and I promise you, nobody works harder than we do to make you a great quality cigar. Come visit us at RockyPatel.com.
Surgeon General warning, cigar smoking can cause cancer and heart disease.
Don't go anywhere. Cigar Dave is back in 2 minutes. Just one more minute until Cigar Dave returns. Your five-star general is back in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Beer. Everybody. Beer. It's a great sing-along song, ladies and gentlemen. We'd like to have everybody join in and sing along with the band. In heaven, there is no fear.
Home Brewing 101, the science of brewing. We're at Avid Brew Company downtown St. Petersburg with Jeff Keller, the owner and proprietor, and master brewer Connor Meyer. Now, recapping here, there are nine steps to creating beer. First is your ingredients. By the way, all of these are at CigarDave.com. The second is mashing of the grains, steeping grains in hot water for an hour between 142 to 159 degrees. Sparging, rinsing the sugar out of the grains, creating the wort. Boiling for about an hour. Number five is adding the hops, is where we left off. And Connor, you just gave me, and Jeff, you just gave me a half a glass here of hops. And these are what?
Citra.
Citra. This is a popular hop?
Very.
Okay.
Especially among the IPAs.
That was one that sold out because everyone wanted it last year.
I'm getting notes of pininess, fruitiness, floral, a little citrus.
Mm-hmm.
Very incredible. Now, these come in like little pellets. Is that how they're grown, or are they created into pellets?
They're grown in these little cones, but pellets are easier to transport because an ounce of whole leaf hops can actually go bad a lot quicker. And it's a lot larger. So this, they just pulverize them and put them through an extruder that puts them into pellets.
Gotcha. So this is
really... more consistent and even about them all, too.
This is what gives the beer a lot of flavor, a lot of the various tasting notes, whether it's real hoppy, those bitterness units, or the other taste that you would get on the palate.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now we go to chilling. So the beer is boiled for just about an hour or so.
And you're adding the hops throughout.
You're adding the hops. Okay. Then you go to chilling.
Now, as I was saying about earlier, with the hops, the when you add them changes whether you're going to get bitterness from it, aroma from it, or flavor from it. So if it takes you an hour, 2 hours to chill it down, all those aroma hops you put in have been in hot water for long enough where they've become bittering hops. So the quicker you can chill it, the more you can retain the flavors that you want. Also, the less chance for infection you have.
All right, and below 80 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
What's the rough temperature you chill it at?
I usually go for about 75.
75 degrees.
Yeah, because so if it's too high, you're going to kill the yeast. If it's too cold, it's just going to keep the yeast asleep.
Yeast gotcha. Are your friends. You want to make the environment for them really happy.
Well, when it comes to beer, yeast is your friend. Not in everything, though, however. All right, so the next thing is pitching the yeast.
This is where you give life to your beer. This is where it becomes...
beer.
That's a living thing. I mean, yeast is a beautiful thing. You can make alcohol. You can make CO2. So, I mean, it's just... this is where the life comes to it.
And there are different types of yeast.
There are. There's different...
different strains.
Yeah.
Different strains from different regions, and they have different qualities each one might produce. Same with water. Water and yeast are related to the regions they come from.
Okay. So then you pitch the yeast, and how long?
This is the only time, after you've cooled it down, sanitation is very key.
Okay.
You don't want infections of other bacteria, of wild yeasts. This is where you can get some really bad off flavors. So once you've chilled it, you've sanitized everything that's going to touch your beer at this point. It's still considered wort until the yeast is added. But sanitation is absolutely key.
Okay. So you pitch the yeast. Then what happens? Step 8.
You close it in the fermenter, and you add an airlock or...
have a beer.
Yeah. You should have been drinking the whole
time. Should have been drinking the whole time. That's true. Sure. Okay.
You make it so that nothing can get into it. So there's blow-off tubes, which basically, or an airlock, which just lets the CO2 the yeast is creating come out, but nothing come in.
Okay. So fermentation, how long?
About a month.
A month. So basically, you when you pitch the yeast, you then you're putting the yeast into a new container, or you're putting it into the fermenter.
Into the fermenter.
Gotcha. So you take the wort, the boiled wort, that has the hops. You chill it down, then you put it into the fermenter along with the yeast for 30 days. Now, difference between a lager and an ale involves the...
you go back to temperature.
Temperature.
Temperature. Lager yeast typically ferments around 55 degrees, and ale yeast typically ferment between 62 to 72 degrees.
And one is the top fermenting and the other is the bottom fermenting.
For the most part, yes.
For the most part. Okay, gotcha. So 30 days has now gone by. Now, I'm looking here. You've got beer... ale, 62 to 72 degrees, 2 to 3 weeks. Lager, 55 to 60 degrees, 2 to 3 weeks.
Now, the term lager, actually, lagering is aging at cold temperature.
Aging at cold temperature.
A lager, you would ferment at 55, 50, 57 for 2 to 3 weeks, and then you would lager it for up to 3 months. And that's actually the process of lagering is about 35 degrees, and you maintain that for 2 to 3 months. And that actually clears the flavor. It clears the beer out for clarity.
So lagers are longer, ales about 30 days.
Absolutely. For home brewers, ales are a lot easier.
Lagers require a lot more patience, too.
Correct. So 30 days have gone by with your ale, your home-brewed ale. Now what do you do? Comes out of the fermenter.
So you put it into another container that's also sterilized. You add a set amount of sugar, and then
A
set amount of sugar, depending on how much carbonation you want. So this is this point, the yeast is still alive.
Okay.
So you put it in another bucket. You add sugar, and then you put it into each bottle and cap it.
Okay.
And what that sugar does, the yeast will eat that sugar inside the bottle and creating CO2.
Okay.
And it'll naturally carbonate inside of the bottle.
All right. And then?
You wait about 2 weeks, if even a week and a half, and you put it in your fridge, and you enjoy your nice, tasty beverage.
Fantastic. And as we discussed in hour number one during our libation ceremony, we actually sampled some of your beers, which were absolutely fantastic. Now, somebody wants to buy a home brewing kit. We've learned all 8, 9 steps, science of brewing, home brewing. I'm looking here, and we'll take a picture of this. We did take a picture. We'll put this at CigarDave.com. That's an entire kit that you need, everything. How much?
Around $200.
$200, and you can become a home brewer.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And you also have classes here at Avid Brew Company in downtown St. Pete, $25 each.
Correct. Yep.
Fantastic. Website.
AvidBrew.com and also on Facebook, AvidBrew.
Perfect. Jeff Keller, Connor Meyer of Avid Brew Company, downtown St. Pete. Gentlemen, thanks for the hospitality. Thanks for the knowledge. Cigar Dave, the general, saying, may your humidor always be full. May your cutter always be sharp. May your ash be extra, extra long. And may your beer always taste cool and refreshing. Long live the Alpha. Make America great again. All the information you need on home brewing and the science of brewing, CigarDave.com. All the steps are listed there. Get to it. Make your own brewski. Cigar Oktoberfest continues next week.
Three Dog Night is coming to Redding's historic Cascade Theater October 28th. Don't miss this chance to see Three Dog Night and hear all their iconic hits in the intimate setting of the Cascade. Three Dog Night, October 28th. Get tickets at 243-8877 or cascadetheater.org.
We learned it the hard way. Wildland fire is a fact of life for us. The only real protection for your home and property is defensible space. Remove ladder fuels, brush, and trees that can take the fire right into your house. But cleaning up your landscape is a big job, and Cal North Forestry is up to the task. They are the professionals. Cal North Forestry. Give your home the best chance at survival. For a free estimate, call 209-9473. 209-9473.
You're listening to KCNR 1460, community talk radio for the North State. This is KCNR, Shasta, Redding.